The grocery store is a fragile lie, a thin veneer of convenience that can be stripped away by a single bad season, a logistics hiccup, or a price hike that makes your favorite heirloom tomato look like a luxury import. If you are still buying little paper packets every March, you are still a tenant on your own land. You are paying for the right to grow food that nature intended to give you for free. Most people look at a drying sunflower head or a mushy, overripe cucumber and see waste. They see something to be tossed into the compost bin or raked into the dirt. But when I look at those things, I see a vault. I see 1,000 future meals. I see the literal DNA of self-reliance. If you don't know how to unlock that vault, you are leaving your food security in the hands of a corporation that cares more about its quarterly margins than your family's dinner table. Today, we are changing that. We are talking about seed saving, how to never buy seeds again. This isn't just about saving a few dollars. It's about breeding a garden that is biologically hardwired to thrive in your specific soil, your specific pests, and your specific climate. By the time we're done, you won't just be a gardener, you'll be a curator of life. The old way of gardening, the way most of us were taught, is a cycle of dependency. You buy the seeds, you plant the seeds, you harvest the fruit, and then you let the plant die and buy more seeds. It's a linear path that leads right back to the checkout counter. The industry loves this. They've even gone so far as to create Terminator seeds and hybrids that won't grow true to type, ensuring you have to come back year after year. But the farm fresh way, the way our grandmothers and their grandmothers survived, is a circle. In that circle, the end of the harvest is actually the beginning of the next year's abundance. Think about the psychology of the seed for a moment. Every time a plant survives a drought in your backyard or fights off a localized fungus, it learns. If you save the seeds from that specific survivor, those seeds carry that knowledge in their genetic code. When you plant them next year, they aren't starting from zero. They are starting with a home field advantage. This is why an heirloom variety from a catalog might struggle in your humidity, but a seed saved from your own garden for three generations will grow like a weed. You are essentially training your food to love your land. This is the ultimate form of resource protection. You are stopping the bleed of money out of your pocket, and you are building a biological savings account that pays interest in the form of higher yields and tougher plants. To do this right, we have to move past the beginner's luck phase and get into the granular tactics of botanical warfare. The first pitfall most people tumble into is the hybrid trap. If you saved seeds from a grocery store bell pepper or a big boy hybrid tomato, you are playing a game of genetic roulette. Those plants are the offspring of two different parents, and their seeds will likely revert to a wild or unproductive version of one of those parents. You might get a vine that grows 20 feet long but never produces a single fruit. To never buy seeds again, you must start with open-pollinated or heirloom varieties. These are stable, meaning the children will look and taste like the parents. Let's talk about the big three of easy seed-saving: beans, peas, and tomatoes. These are your entry-level assets because they are mostly self-pollinating. They have perfect flowers, meaning the male and female parts are in the same bloom, and they usually do their business before the flower even opens. This means you don't have to worry about a wandering bee bringing pollen from your neighbor's weird ornamental gourds and ruining your squash crop. For beans and peas, the tactic is simple, but requires a shift in perspective. You have to leave the best-looking pods on the vine until they are dead dry. I'm talking about pods that feel like parchment paper and rattle when you shake them. If you pick them while they're still green and tasty, the seed isn't finished. It hasn't pulled all the energy from the mother plant. You let them brown, you let the vine shrivel, and only then do you harvest. You shell them out, let them sit on a screen in the house for another week to ensure zero moisture, and then they go into a cool, dark, dry place. Tomatoes require a bit more kitchen chemistry. Inside a tomato, every seed is encased in a gelatinous sac. Nature put that there to prevent the seed from sprouting inside the warm, wet fruit. If you just smear those seeds on a paper towel and dry them, that growth inhibitor stays on the seed and can cause poor germination next year. The farm fresh way is fermentation. You squeeze the guts of your best, ripest, tastiest tomato into a small jar, add 1 inch of water, let it sit on your counter for 3 days. It's going to get gross. A white film of mold will probably form on top. Don't panic, that mold is eating the growth inhibitor off the seeds. After 3 days, fill the jar with water and stir. The good, heavy seeds will sink to the bottom. The junk and the mold will float. Pour off the gunk, rinse the good seeds in a fine mesh strainer, and dry them on a ceramic plate. Never use paper towels. The seeds will glue themselves to the paper, and you'll spend your spring peeling off lint. Now, let's look at the intermediate level, the cross-pollinators, like squash, pumpkins, and cucumbers. These are the socialites of the garden. They have separate male and female flowers, and they love to swap pollen with anything in the same family. If you grow zucchini and yellow crookneck side by side, and you save those seeds, next year you might grow a zucchini that tastes like bitter cardboard. To master this, you have to use isolation. You can do this by distance, planting different varieties 100 yards apart, or by time, planting them weeks apart so they bloom at different times. But the pro move, the way I do it, is manual intervention. I find a female flower that is just about to open, and I tape it shut with a tiny piece of painter's tape. I do the same to a male flower. The next morning, I pluck the male, peel off the tape, and hand paint the pollen onto the female flower. Then I tape the female flower shut again, so no bees can get in there with trash pollen. I tie a bright ribbon around that fruit stem so I know that is my seed fruit. I let that fruit get massive and overripe, well past the eating stage, before I harvest the seeds. The advanced level, and where most people fail, is with biennials. These are plants like carrots, onions, and beets. They don't produce seeds in the first year. They spend the first year building a root, and the second year bolting to seed. If you want to never buy carrot seeds again, you have to overwinter your carrots. In cold climates, this means mulching them heavily or even digging them up, storing them in sand in a root cellar, and replanting them in the spring. They will grow a flower stalk that looks like Queen Anne's lace, and you will get thousands of seeds from just a few plants. The storage protocol is your final defense against waste. Heat, light, and moisture are the three horsemen of seed death. Once your seeds are bone dry, I'm talking snaps instead of bends dry, put them in glass jars. Add a small silica gel packet if you have one. Store them in the back of a closet or even the refrigerator if you have the space. Imagine, 2 years from now, you walk out into your garden. Every single plant you see was born on your land. They are tuned to your touch. While your neighbors are scrambling to find overpriced seeds at the big box store or worrying about back orders and shipping delays, you are sitting on a surplus. You have enough to plant, enough to trade, and enough to give to a neighbor who is just starting out. That is true wealth. That is true fresh. Your zero-cost task for today is this: go to your kitchen or your garden and find one open-pollinated fruit, a tomato, a pepper, or even a dried bean pod. Harvest those seeds using the methods we discussed. Don't worry about doing 100 plants. Just do one. Prove to yourself that you can capture the life cycle. Once you do it, the fear of scarcity disappears. Next time, we are going deeper into the underground economy of the farm, looking at soil building techniques that turn your backyard dirt into black gold without spending a single cent on synthetic fertilizers. Stay grounded, stay resourceful, and keep it farm fresh.